Hello, welcome back to Average Home Theater. I'm Nelson.
I'm Donovan.
And today we're going to talk about what we believe are the greatest movies ever made, in our expert opinions.
That's right.
we didn't know how many to do, you know. It was like, well, should we do 10? Should we do 5? And we agreed on 5, but I have like 7.
It was tough.
Ish, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we both struggled with
honorable mentions and what order. And
well, and like you said earlier when we were talking off camera, it's hard to discern favorite movies from greatest movies because you get a little bit of a bias in there.
And I'll be honest, my list does have some biasness in it. I just couldn't rip enough out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I tried to really kind of bring some things in that are normally wouldn't. I'd be like, well, I really favor this other movie or trilogy more, but while I like this one, I see it's more artistic, or from a theatrical perspective, it was put together better.
Yeah.
It's just a better movie.
And some of mine, I determined, are, you know, it's technical issues, but or technical reasons, but also movies that kind of changed the landscape of movies.
Oh, film industry.
Yeah, like they were groundbreaking, or because this movie was made, things kind of, you know, the film industry changed a little bit.
Well, like Jurassic Park and Terminator 2.
Right, something like that.
They set the stage for CGI, which before that was miniatures and just real.
Which I don't know if you saw on Netflix, they did the movies that made us. They added Jurassic Park, Back to the Future, and I think Dirty Dancing. But anyway, they added some movies to it. So you need to check that out. There's some good info on it.
Yeah.
I watched it not long after we did the Jurassic Park video. I was like, oh, look, that'd have been some useful information.
Yeah.
And we were right on the stop motion, how it was going to be stop motion.
Yes,
but then one guy was like, hey, but look what we can do with the CGI.
And
so
I think
we
it started with, taking away from what we're doing, the little bird dinosaurs when they were trying to do a herd.
Oh, the compies?
The compies.
Yeah.
When they were looking at the compies, that's when they really started to say, and they got with the Howard developed with the CGI part. They were doing the miniatures with the compies, and the CGI people were like, well, we can do it much better like this, or whoever that person was.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was stop motion, but then they were adding blur to make it look more realistic or something. I don't know.
It was going to be donkey.
Yeah. But anyway, so I guess I'll start off with an honorable mention. And I'm going to go with Jaws. Mm-hmm. And because think about, one, when you watch it, it's pretty perfect. You know, there's not much wrong with it other than some people say the shark looks fake, but it was in 1975.
Right.
You know, but think about how that changed movies, right? I mean, yeah, people didn't want to go to the beach, you know, and things like that.
Yeah, it changed pop society as a whole. And everyone thinks about Jaws when they're at the beach, even until this day.
Yeah, know? I mean, I just watched it during the 4th of July. You know, it really is one of the best movies ever made because it resonates with pretty much everybody. I mean, even my wife, who hates horror movies and all that stuff, she can watch Jaws.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of my honorable mentions. You have one? Or no, you write at 5? Well, then my other one, I'll do my other honorable mention, is Pulp Fiction. I mean, when Pulp Fiction came out, people, you know, I didn't see it. I was only like 12. There's no way I could have watched Pulp Fiction.
Right.
I mean, I guess I could have, but, you know, I didn't. So I didn't watch it until I was an adult. But I do know, just, you know, seeing other people's videos or, you know, people talking about it, how it changed movies. I mean, you know, Quentin Tarantino, he had done Reservoir Dogs before that.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't really resonate with people like Pulp Fiction did. I mean, Pulp Fiction, I don't know. Because of Pulp Fiction, we now have the world of Quentin Tarantino, you know.
Yeah.
Because of its popularity and just how good it is. So that's my second honorable mention. So go with your first one.
Number 5. We'll go from 5
up
to top 1 with mine. The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Number 5.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Clint Eastwood's iconic spaghetti western that really kind of ushered in the name Clint Eastwood. You know, and it is just a... It's his style of western, which is...
Did he write and direct that one, or he just acted in it?
No, I think he was more than just an actor in it. I know he didn't even know it was like even popular in the U.S. I saw.
Oh yeah, I did hear that.
I saw Joe Rogan talking with Scott Eastwood this past week or whatever, about a week or two ago on his podcast, and Scott Eastwood said that his dad came back from Italy filming it.
He went to watch it, didn't even realize it was his movie. Yeah, I did see
it
that.
It was crazy. I did see that. All of a sudden, he just realized it's famous over here. It just hit. And so that just puts Clint Eastwood as Clint Eastwood. And it differed from John Wayne a lot. I grew up, my dad watched, he loved John Wayne. And that was the traditional, the character, besides True Grit, was the clean-cut cowboy, the do-gooder guy kind of thing, and it's, you know, John Wayne's going to save the day, whereas the anti-hero is Clint Eastwood. I wouldn't say he's the original anti-hero, but that's so he a was lot like of his characters.
He was an outlaw who does good things or something?
For his character, it was, I don't want to get too much into that movie, but as far as it shaped who he became, and like the outlaw Josie Wells and stuff like that. It was kind of his edgy persona, and that's what set the stage for Clint Eastwood, and it changed the Western genre, which at that time was starting to die out. You know, we're talking the 70s, or late 60s. That was starting the end of it,
Like John Wayne, most of those are like black and white and stuff.
Yeah. He had some stuff going into the 60s, but that was the end of it, near it. And even in, when did John Wayne die? But, so this was really kind of an iconic movie for cinema, for Westerns, for Clint Eastwood, of who he was, to start who he was and really bring him to the forefront. And it's just got a lot of grit. It's got edginess. It's got some dark and shade to it. It's a different take on the Western in general, on the way that the acting is done and the characters are done. So anyway, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly is number 5 for me.
Cool. Well, I never would have guessed that. I like it. Number 5 for me is Empire Strikes Back. And that's it's not a secret that it's the best Star Wars movie, of course, ever made. But just in terms of its writing, its acting, and the directing, the humor is like, it's not too much humor. The humor is like spot on. I mean, it's pretty much perfect. It's pretty much a perfect movie.
Irvin Kershner directed it. And because Lucas had to step back because he was into it with the Writers Guild, and because of the scroll or something with that, he couldn't direct it. So Lucas stepped back. Yeah, it was something to do with the Writers Guild, and he was a Screenwriters Guild. And so I don't know if there was a lawsuit going on. I forget the behind-the-scenes drama. But it brought Kershner into the forefront, and he asked Kershner to do it, and Kershner wasn't going to do it. And then Kershner's agent said, "Are you insane?
Are you insane? It's freaking Star Wars."
Right. And because Kershner didn't know if he wanted to do a movie on that scale.
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be a big scale movie. And he didn't, the first one was a big hit. He didn't know if he wanted the pressure. And so when you watch, because you got behind the scenes footage of him talking about it. And you can look it up online stuff. And it's all in the Star Wars Blu-rays. And you can see all that. But it was interesting how that kind of came together with Kershner, and because Lucas couldn't direct it, per se.
Well, I'm glad he didn't direct it. The best movie he's ever directed is A New Hope, obviously.
Right.
But you can see the, kind of hokiness and stuff like that in A New Hope as compared to Empire Strikes Back. I mean, they're on two different levels as far as just quality of movie.
Yeah. And there will never be another movie on that level for Star Wars.
No. Forget it. Those days are gone.
Sometimes certain things just come together. Like there'll never be a good Predator again, really.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's done.
Because everything just came together for that movie that really can't be duplicated. Mm-hmm. And so ESB is that for Star Wars.
Yeah. No doubt.
Number 4 for me is The Dark Knight.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of people have that high on their list.
Yeah. Heath Ledger's performance was,
it was great.
Yeah. A fabulous performance. The
different
movie.
His own, Because look, I remember, we used to get the, what's the name of that magazine?
Empire?
No, it was specific for our movies, but I can't remember what it was. It was back in the day. Right around that, and the article came out that Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker. And I'm thinking, 10 Things I Hate About You,
Right.
Stuff like that. And I remember telling Jamie I was actually getting dressed, and she showed me, "Look who's going to be the new Joker." And I got angry. I was immediately angry. I was like, Heath Ledger. What was that night movie?
Oh, I forget it. I loved it. I actually liked that movie.
I know, but
But right.
watching that, I'm like,
The Joker?
he's gonna be
Really?
the Joker? You know, I mean,
Really?
the only Joker I really knew was, Jack Nicholson, and that's what I had to compare to, and that's the broad comparison.
God.
I was like,
Yeah,
how is he gonna
iconic.
do that? You know? Because Jack Nicholson even looks like the Joker,
Oh,
with his
yeah.
high eyebrows and stuff like that. I was like, this kid doesn't look like the Joker. And the teaser trailer released, and the teaser trailer was just the bat symbol, right? And there was audio playing, and Heath Ledger was speaking, and I got chills watching. It was like a 29-second teaser trailer, and I was like, okay, I'll give him a chance. Because, man, I love Batman Begins. That's my favorite of the Dark Knight trilogy. And I was very upset when Heath Ledger was cast. And turns out he was great. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I just like that the movie is tense. It cross ethical. There's some ethical things with the Big Brother watching concept, with the bat computer comes of, the first bat computer really comes into its what form.
And now we're doing it. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I digress.
We get another cast for another day. And it's just dark, gritty, and he it's not Christian Bale's performance, which was fine, It's Heath Ledger's performance that just makes that movie, and then the movie is just tense. It truly is a number two, a true number two in a trilogy, with the third movie being kind of flat. It truly is. And I don't know. I watch it, and I like it from a theatrical perspective on how it's done, how it shapes, how it evolves, how his character is. And his character is nobody. There's nothing.
Yeah. Which
It,
is how the Joker's supposed to be. Don't
right?
know where he comes
Mystery.
from, don't know his name, right?
Not the guy who shot Bruce Wayne's parents. No.
No.
It's not that Joker.
That's
This is
all Tim Burton.
this is a guy who literally comes from nowhere. Can't get any prints on him, nothing. And then he establishes this edgy, dark, sadistic character, and who is romanticized with the concept of Batman. His equal. His equal. Then we're,
His
and
polar opposite, his
yes, and Heath Ledger's death does add to this. It sealed the role, and it does, I have to say, it does impact even my cognition of the movie, because it's his last major.
I
Was
think
it
he
his?
had one, no, he had one more movie,
Yeah.
but he passed away before it released. I don't remember
Yeah.
what it
Yeah.
was.
So, long story long, Dark Knight was number four for me.
Man, sometimes it seems like we're just kind of spinning our wheels on this movie, but it's so good, it gets mentioned a lot, and that's Aliens. Aliens, in my opinion, it brought kind of sci-fi a little bit more mainstream,
Yeah.
because, sci-fi it's not mainstream, or it wasn't mainstream to me when I was younger as it is now. A lot more people like sci-fi.
Well, sci-fi was doo-doo before A New Hope.
Yeah, it was
It,
cheesy
cheesy,
and
hokey
low
concepts of space.
budget.
Yeah, it was. And Star Wars A New Hope with George Lucas established the modern concept of sci-fi.
And then
Like,
a few
holy
years
crap.
later, Alien was
Alien,
made.
right? And then you have Empire Strikes Back in 1980. You have Alien in 79, was
Yeah, it was
it?
79.
And then this really, then you had,
Well, Terminator.
Terminator
But
2, yeah,
because he
Terminator at
was
the same
so
time.
because Terminator was so successful, and Alien was so successful, his budget for Aliens was, and he was able to do a lot more with it.
And
And
it's big.
yeah, it's great. Even though some people say Aliens is basically Alien all over again, except it has some Marines in it, But that's a whole nother story.
I disagree with that.
Yeah,
There's a
but some
queen
people, if
involved.
you look at it, it's kind of, it's similar. There's always the elements of all Aliens movies. There's always an insider who, it's all about weapons and all
The
of that.
company.
Yeah, the company. There's always an insider who's trying to, get the sand, the specimen and all that. So they are kind of similar, but that movie right there, I think across the board, most people like it, whether they're sci-fi fans or not. For some reason, that seems like one that a lot of people just enjoy.
Oh yeah, that one's in my top 10 for
and
sure.
And it changed sci-fi cinema for sure, in my opinion. It brought it more I mean, they were playing it on network television less than a year after it came out. Mm-hmm. And it was this big deal, you know. Not many movies got that treatment.
And then the third one came out with the cow alien, and that was crap. Yeah. So, well, yeah. It wasn't crap, but, you know, it was the underdog, I call it, of the movies. Anyway, so that was number four. Number three for me, and this, it gets controversial because this one gets number one on a lot of lists, but, and I've only recently watched it, but it very much established itself as one of the greatest movies I've ever seen. So, The Shawshank Redemption.
Excellent movie. I can't say enough about it.
Now it's long. What
not really. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something, or 2 hours and 30 minutes. I mean, it's longer than the average, but yes. I don't know. Nowadays, it seems like anything over 2 hours is kind of the standard. You know, it used to be an hour and a half. Now it's like 2 hours and... But Shawshank doesn't feel that long.
No, it doesn't. It tells...
It is long. Like, you don't want to watch it sometimes, you know, because you look at the length, you're like, man... It's 8 o'clock. I'm old. That'll have me up till 10:30. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm gonna watch that. So,
but you don't disengage from it.
But when you do watch it, you're just, I don't know. I mean, I might as well say. I mean, that's your number three. That's my number one. I think it's the greatest movie ever made, hands down. It's perfect. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see continuity errors because I look for that stuff. Yeah. I don't see bad acting by any character. I don't see plot holes because the plot is simple. Mm-hmm. When a guy is wrongfully accused of killing his wife.
Yep.
And it's what he has to deal with in prison. So there's no real plot holes.
It's a beautiful movie.
It's fantastic. The directing, I mean, the cinematography, you know, the
who
way
directed it?
It's Frank Darabont. Okay. And he is a big Stephen King guy. He's done a few Stephen King movies. Like The Mist, one is... Everybody loves The Mist. I haven't seen that since it came out, and I remember it being really good, so I need to rewatch it.
Man, that'll make you not want to go out at night.
But, yeah, The Shawshank Redemption is just, it's movie perfection to me. It's just fantastic.
It's a Mortal Kombat.
And I watched it not that long ago, trying to scrutinize it, like really paying more attention to the technical stuff. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with this movie.
You can't find a stone or rock to throw at it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It's the cleanest movie. It's cleaner than my number one and my number two. But it didn't resonate as deep. And here we go with the
Well, probably because you've only seen it once.
Right.
And you haven't been watching it for years like I haven't. And I saw this movie when it first came out as a kid and have seen it so many times. And it's like, this movie is... And I mean Morgan Freeman. Come on.
And I'd like to say this podcast is also brought to you by Coke Plus.
Coke Plus. Two Coke Pluses at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Sure is. Just when the Coke is not enough, the Plus gets you the extra distance.
So my number three is The Godfather, 1972. And you just told me that you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, and so right off, I want to do a disclaimer with my list. I have not watched what many consider a top five movie, one and two, of all time, if not number one, you know.
It is. Now, it's not nearly the perfect movie of Shawshank and stuff like that, but I think it's, I mean, 1972. The quality of movie that it was for that time is just, it's amazing. And I think it's because, you know, there's mafia movies and stuff that's been made for years and years before that, right?
Right.
But I think this movie made the way it was directed, because it's a slow burn. It's not action-packed or anything like that. It's a slow burn, but you feel like that's the real mafia while you're watching it. I promise you, when you're going to watch it, you're going to be like, man. Because it takes place like in the 40s, right? It's after Prohibition, so things are changing for organized crime. Well, I mean, now that alcohol is legal, so then it starts to turn to different things that where they got to make their money. You know, what are they gonna, what's it gonna be? And I don't want to give it away because you need to watch it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the quandary, right? And then
who is in there besides Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando, And Al Pacino's his son. Okay. Al Pacino's brother is, oh my God, Sonny Corleone is played by, oh my God, please.
I'll look it up. We'll look it up.
Damn it. Dude, I always do this. It's on camera. I always lock up on camera. It's, oh Jesus. Anyway, Robert Duvall is one of the brothers, but he's like an adopted brother. Okay. And it's James Caan. Jeez Louise. Okay. James Caan is Sonny Corleone, and he is awesome.
I mean,
why I couldn't think of James Caan, I'm very embarrassed. And producer Nick, is when he's watching this, he's probably going to be like, James Caan!
So Robert De Niro was in it too?
De Niro's in part two. He's not in the first one. Okay. He plays Marlon Brando as a young man. So it's like flashbacks in part two.
Oh, okay.
So part two is a lot of De Niro becoming the
Sophia
Godfather.
Coppola was in it.
Yeah. Well, it's her daddy directed it.
Yeah. Okay, so
it's Francis Ford Coppola. Oh, yeah. So, it's just awesome, man. It's
Diane Keaton.
Yeah, she plays Al Pacino's love interest, who becomes his wife.
Good lord. Okay, so I have to.
You need to watch it. I have the DVDs. You're gonna take them home and watch them.
I'll do that.
Excellent movies. To me, the first one is by far the best. The second one, you know, they got some people that say, yeah, the first one is great, but the second one is better, you know, kind of like an Empire Strikes Back. But I disagree. I much prefer the first one over the second one. Yeah. I mean, the first one is just fantastic. Great movie.
I'll put that on my movie watch list. Yes. Let me use those, and I want to bring it back. I'm going to bring you back Alien Covenant as well. If you want it back.
I mean, I guess.
It's got a nice tin case.
Yeah, it's got a nice steel book.
Number two for me is Empire Strikes Back. We've said everything we need to say about it. I mean,
yeah,
it is
not much more.
I watched the hell out of that, and like all Star Wars fans do. And for me, it's just I love science. I'm obviously my favorite genre is science fiction, so I have a bias inherent already, and that is for me the number one science fiction period. And so for me, it ranks number two on my list of all time. What you got?
I got Apollo 13.
Oh, excellent choice.
Apollo 13 is number two behind Shawshank for a reason, because I can't find anything wrong with it. And what makes it even better is it's a true story.
Now so the actors in there are
Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, and Bill Paxton.
They're
the three astronauts that are up there when everything goes.
Fantastic movie.
I mean, dude. You know,
definitely, I can see that someone's number two.
There's nothing wrong with it. I get emotional watching it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. The performances, the fact that it's a true story. It's Ron Howard's best by far.
Oh,
even though Ron
yeah.
Howard is a genius, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made tons of great movies.
He saved Solo. Bailed that thing out.
Yeah, it's just, God. Man. I mean, Kevin Bacon.
His indie movie he did a while back was good, too. With the indie race cars with Chris Hemsworth in there. That was actually good. He's just, man, his movies are just Backdraft.
Oh, Backdraft. Yeah. I recently got the 4K steelbook of Backdraft. Yeah, so I need to watch
excellent.
It. I haven't seen it in a long time. But yeah, and Bill Paxton, like, it's probably next to Frailty,
mm-hmm.
Bill Paxton's best, like those are his two best acting performances. Because you know what, the reason we all love Bill Paxton is because he's so cheesy.
Well, yeah,
you know, he's so over the top. You know, I mean, everything is just taken to the next level. And for most people, it would be overacting or bad acting, but Bill Paxton
just does it great.
Makes it great. I mean, True Lies, his character when he's the car salesman in True Lies. I mean, dude, Bill Paxton has his way of doing things.
Best movie for him, for me, was Twister.
Oh, but it's so cheesy.
I know.
You know, Twister is like a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it is.
It's a terrible movie that doesn't make much sense, but it's great at the same time.
Yep.
You know,
it's good coffee and
but
cake.
His performance in Apollo 13 is just, it's like, man, he really is a good actor. You know, if he was given more roles like that, but everything was so over the top. Oh, Gary Sinise.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, and Tom Hanks. I mean, Tom Hanks is one of the greatest actors of our generation. There's no doubt.
Oh, without a doubt. I watched it once or twice, and it was just, I mean, I remember a lot of it, and it was just a very clean movie from start to finish. Excellent acting, and just well put together. It's one of those movies, you again, like The Shawshank Redemption, you can't find rocks and stones harder to throw at it.
No.
It's just from start to finish.
No.
My number one, highly controversial number one right here, but I cry during the entire movie, and I've watched the hell out of the movie. And that's just me, and I don't know, and it's Tom Hanks's movie. It's Forrest Gump, of all things. I just
Well,
end
there's a
up.
lot of people that hold it in a very high regard, you
Right,
know. And I think it's a great movie, you know.
It for me, and it's got a lot of issues in the movie. But for me, it's one of the iconic movies. What was it, in the 90s it came out? Early to you?
Like mid-90s,
Yeah.
because I was in high school.
It's movie of the decade kind of thing. You know, it's set that it's one of those iconic movies of that decade and just an iconic movie in general. And again, it's very emotional. I feel for the character. Tom Hanks does a magnificent job as playing Forrest
Yeah,
Gump.
he kills it.
He really does. And it really kind of another knockout role for him. And just watching that character develop through the decades and his relationships and the path the character takes.
And it's kind of a genius script, you know, tying in how he basically is responsible for all the greatest
Well,
things that's
right.
ever
It
happened,
has a
you
lot
know?
of foolishness in it.
Yeah.
But it is cool. It's just really cool. It's a fun movie to watch, and it just satisfies. And for me as a viewer, I've watched it. And I don't watch, you know, like if it's not sci-fi, because I'm biased with sci-fi, like I don't watch pure, clean, iconic movies a lot of times. Like Apollo 13, I recognize for what it is. I think it's fantastic, but I'm not going to go watch it two or three more times. For some reason, with Forrest Gump, it's very entertaining, and yet at the same time, for me, it's very emotional. Whether
Right.
because his character is slow and still triumphs throughout life and death with
Right.
his loved ones around him.
Yeah, his
I'm
mom,
getting
his
all
the
choked up.
love
Like, yeah, I get
his
choked
mom,
up.
the love of
Yeah,
his life and
I'm
all
a
that stuff.
crier in movies. You know, I'm a
Well,
big crier.
I've become a lot more emotional since married and have a kid.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, I wouldn't cry for anything, you know. But now I'll get like, you know,
Yeah,
sometimes when I'm watching a movie, I'm like,
choke me up.
you know, I'm a tough guy, I'm not gonna cry, you know. But yeah, Forrest Gump is fantastic, and I can easily see how that's in somebody's top five or
Yeah.
whatever.
And in my top five is very lucid, man. Like I could redo this list in about a 30, you know, one more Coke Plus and I got an entirely flipped order. But in general, if I was to take 10 movies and look at it 15 times, more than not, I would probably come up with
We're
this
close to it.
close to it,
Yeah.
this assortment. Very tough. And it's super tough to take the emotional and personal out of it, which is one reason why Forrest is up so high. I couldn't pull enough of me out of it to put it further down. But that's what it is for me, and that's what I did for my top five.
Yeah, and of course, my number one we already said is Shawshank.
Which is, I think, the number one for every
And
legitimate
it's funny because when you look at
list.
what, if you watch other YouTube videos, if you look at other lists online, Shawshank is more often than not number one or pretty close to it.
Well, and Shawshank has Tim Robbins at his finest. And I mean, I'm sorry, but any movie becomes a legitimate watching movie almost when you put Morgan
Morgan
Freeman in
Freeman in
it
it, right.
and he's talking. That he's narrating. And which is, I mean, that's an industry in itself, Morgan Freeman narrating things. I mean, he's just phenomenal. Phenomenal. So that I can see. And for the longest time, like I said, I didn't watch it till this past month or last month. So
Yeah,
I
when we
didn't
started
know.
talking about doing this, you had to do a little bit of research, and you're like, well, I need to watch that movie and see.
Yeah. And so when I reflected back to what was the big fuss, because when this came out, the preceding years, like this thing was huge. They got this guy, Morgan Freeman, in it, where, you know, and you see Morgan Freeman, he's been in a ton of stuff. Now, Tim Robbins, on the other hand, I can't, and I know he's been in a lot of stuff, but I can't pull back enough.
Well, yeah, I think before Shawshank, he had done something. He had done like Top Gun or whatever. He was a small part in that, and I'm pretty sure he had done Jacob's Ladder already. So he was, Oh, Bull Durham. You know, okay. He was known, right? But nothing propelled his career.
Well, like I was like who is this Tim Robbins guy? What was he in that like, gets a lot of so much media coverage? That's what I kept over the years trying to think back on, and then I realized, I forget at what point, it was before I watched it, that he was in that movie Shawshank Redemption, which everyone talks about and says iconic. Still didn't watch it. And like, you know, we said I watched it last month, and then everything comes together. And then you look at the timeline, what year was this done?
Man.
Let's take a peek.
Let's see. Oh, 1994. I had it written down.
Okay. So, was this before Morgan Freeman was in that the Spider movie with Along Came a Spider
That? Yeah, this before that. Well, it's pretty close to the same.
So, was this his big, not I wouldn't say breakout, but this is one of his iconic establishes him?
What made him humongous? I don't know. Because
that's way back. You're talking 84, right?
94. Still, yeah. I mean, I think he had done Robin Hood before this.
Oh, yeah, 92, 91.
Yeah, 91, 92, because I was real young when that came out, and he was, you know, he was awesome in it.
That was an excellent movie.
Yeah, Kevin Costner plays Kevin Costner in every movie.
He's Kevin Costner.
But it's still awesome.
Yes, he's the only one that can pull that trick off.
I mean, not very many people can play themselves in every movie, and it'd still be awesome. You know, it's interesting. Some people say Tom Hanks... Oh, he played. I don't know how they get that, how he plays the same character in every movie.
He does not.
I mean, look at Forrest Gump. And then, have you ever seen Road to Perdition?
Yes. Oh, my God. That's a top 10.
You got a badass gangster and an autistic guy in Forrest Gump or on the spectrum or something.
Yeah, he's on the spectrum and he's a little slow. Yeah.
So, how is that the same person? How is that the same character? How is that the same character as Tom Hanks in Big or Tom Hanks in The Money Pit? You know, they're all different. You know, all of his characters are different. And now, Sully in
the airplane movie.
Sully?
Yeah. Oh, the captain. He was the captain of
the Hudson.
Somali Empire.
Landed in the Hudson.
That was the plane movie. Yeah. Sully, yeah. And then he played that boat captain with the Somali Empire.
Oh, Captain Phillips. I haven't seen that.
That was actually pretty good. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't iconic, but it's still a good movie.
Okay. Yeah. So I just love when people say that. Tom Hanks is fantastic. Okay, well, you know, all the accusations of his personal life and all that stuff, I have no idea about. But we're talking about movies, and he's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, Road to Perdition was good.
I mean, none of these movies are the Suicide Squad.
which is still a strength movie for DC. Which lets you know the status of things with DC.
Please watch my review on the Suicide Squad. Donovan wasn't able to do it with me because he was tied up last week.
Yes.
But what are your thoughts on the Suicide Squad, real quick?
2 or 3 minutes on that subject with it. I don't like the aspect that it uses an antagonist who can control people, because that's what they did in the first one. They made the soldiers into monsters controlled by the witch.
Oh, and so it's basically the same premise?
Yeah, it's kind of same premise when it comes to villains. I mean, this one comes from E.T., the other one does another dimension of spirits or whatever, but same shit. You know, that's how they get their army. They have to have an army to fight against. And
why?
So, I don't know, they just think they do. Same thing with Marvel. Marvel had to come up with an army for Avengers 1. And so with this one, same thing, mind control with some kind of starfish. I do appreciate the slap kind of comic book stuff that James Gunn, because he's such a standout individual, is doing.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Oh, my God. So, I do appreciate that. I hear there's an air cut of the first one, which was way better. But again, Warner Brothers, which I believe, because they screw up everything in DC, got their hands into the first one. So, it became that generic crap we saw. So, the second one, it redeems the guy who played RoboCop.
I can never remember his name.
Kinnaman?
I said the same thing in my video. I was like, the new RoboCop guy.
His character is redeemed very much. He stands out in this movie in some key parts.
His name is Colonel...
time.
Damn it.
That's how iconic it was. I can't remember who was in it. Idris, I'm referring to the actors' names. Yeah. That's how iconic
it is. But I'm so terrible with names, man. It takes me a while. Like, I have to watch a movie several times before I can remember what the characters' names are and stuff.
So the actors carry this movie. Idris Elba took this movie and he carried it on his shoulders. RoboCop guy helped him with it. And there's Stallone playing a shark. And so...
best part.
Probably so. It really just like, is that Stallone?
Well, Margot killed it. She killed it as, what's her name, Harley. She really killed it.
She did. She's one of the ones carrying the movie on its back, you know. And yeah, I appreciate the different aspect from it. But again, they kind of recycled the whole villain thing. And I don't know. DC is just, ugh. And I love DC more than Marvel. But Kevin Feige and Marvel has it weaved together like I mean, he's just an artist with weaving their universe. And DC is like a puzzle board that has been finally put together, and you take it and you just shatter it, and it's everywhere. It's terrible when they try to and they bring the universes together and do a movie. It's crap.
That's probably why I don't watch them.
Yeah. Joker. Phenomenal. Not tied into anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to tie it in because they actually did something.
I don't want them to, though.
No, it's got to
be. I'd much rather it be just.
Let it be a one-off.
Let it be a standalone movie.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix is great interpretation of that role. But now they're saying that's not even going to be the first Joker, the real Joker. And I'm like, stop it. You wanted to do one-off, keep it as a one-off. They're George Lucas and kind of their weaving, you know. Well, yeah, but that'll link into that, and we'll do that after it's done.
Well, everybody is so hell-bent on just making as much money as possible instead of making good movies.
Yeah, they're putting a bunch of different crap out there, and if something hits, then they try to piggyback off of that. And that's not – it turns out to be doo-doo. And that's what's happening with poor DC. You know, from – I don't care what the perspective is, Zack Snyder, here's my rant. And in the Snyderverse, which I was a fan of the Snyderverse – but in the end, some of those movies just don't resonate because James Gunn movie is part of the Snyderverse, apparently. So that movie stuck like nothing. I don't know. DC just is a mess. It's a mess. And while Marvel is weak, but Marvel is so weaved beautifully by Feige that it's strong because it's so cohesive and intertwined. So there's my rant. I'll stop.
Okay. There's Donovan's rant on comic book movies. Nelson doesn't have much of a rant because he doesn't really watch them.
Yeah. Brought to you by Coke Plus.
I stick to, like, Batman, and that's about it.
That's a good thing to stick to.
So, well, with that, I guess we'll wrap it up. Thanks for watching. Please give it a like and subscribe, and join us next time. I don't know what we're going to do next time. We'll figure out something.
Yeah.
And see y'all later.